Community Connections at CKMS. Local sounds, thoughts, passions, and success. Celebrate local. Your neighbor's got a story to tell. Community Connections at CKMS.
Happy Friday, Waterloo Region. It is CKMS Community Connections for 27 January 2023. My name is Bob Jonkman. I have in the studio Dave Burdett from Lost Faculty. Oh, Matt. Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's all good.
Matt Burdett. I'm going to have to edit that out before I do the podcast.
That's okay.
Matt has a brand new single that has come out today, which we're playing right now, called Muddy My Mind.
Paint the sky with the tide. Snow and gray, come out of clouds astray. I've seen that truth be told, can make the sun rise blush. Keep me then release me whenever you're ready. I'm not the kind of guy to get you into going steady. Muddy my mind just to help heal my headache. Muddy my mind just to keep me coming back. I've saved up all my breath for words that come to test the truth for why we breathe in the first place, I guess. Danced ourselves to death on graveyard flower beds to keep their mystery alive for the kids in us. She's the kind of girl who wear black to her wedding just to make a point that a new start is another life ending. Muddy my mind just to mess up my bedding. Muddy my mind just to keep me coming back.
That sounds big, and it ends big.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Matt. Welcome to CKMS Community Connections.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Muddy My Mind.
It was.
Coming out today. This is it. We are the first.
We are, yeah. Today is the first day. It's the first release, too, so I'm excited. I'm happy to be here promoting it and excited to play some tunes for you, too.
Yeah. Where'd you come from?
I came from Hamilton. Hamilton. That's where I drove in from today.
What happens in Hamilton? What's the music scene like in Hamilton?
You know what? It's good. It's alive. Took a bit of a hit during COVID. We had a couple venues kind of go by the wayside, sell out when they could. We got the Casbah, which has been there forever, I think will be forever, no matter what.
Played at the Corktown, I see.
Yeah, the Corktown, too. That's great.
Corktown was just around the corner from where I used to live.
Oh, yeah? So, it's a great neighborhood now. It's beautiful. Everything's, like, covered in ivy down there. It's really nice to walk around there. Yeah. And we got...
getting lots of gigs there?
Yeah, Corktown, Casbah, and then the Doors Pub. Those are, like, the three... Yeah. Good, like smaller ones for independent artists, and then we got like Mills Hardware, and then Bridgeworks are like the two big ones, and then it's the next step.
the big time.
The big one, yeah. Those ones are booked by Sonic Onion, I think. So that's like the label step, and then
okay. So you need to get a label to be getting those gigs as well.
At least get on their radar,
right. But you came from Waterloo. Only a few months ago.
Yeah. So I was at school. I did my master's at Waterloo. Mm-hmm.
Master's in what?
Sustainability management.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so I did my stuff. It was all based in mining, so it was branding focus in the mining industry.
Okay.
Based around Sudbury, so that's kind of been what I was doing the last 2 years during the brunt of the pandemic, and I didn't actually end up being on campus until my last day. So I didn't get to spend nearly as much time in Waterloo as I had hoped. But I've been here lots over the years. I had a lot of good friends that moved here and went to school here for undergrad and all that, and they're still here, so we're out here all the time.
Yeah, so welcome back. And
thank you.
Doing some other visiting today, or are you having some release party for the new release?
Yeah, we're heading right back to Hamilton after this. I got a show in Ancaster at the Coach and Lantern Pub, which is like... that was where I played my first show and probably where I'll play my last. So yeah? Always happy to play there.
And they get your new releases.
Oh, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, it's always a good time hanging out there.
Yeah. I'll put a link to them in the show notes.
Awesome.
So they'll get their bit of oomph from our Google Juice.
Awesome. Well, if anyone's coming in from Waterloo, you got to check out Coach and Leonard. They'll be happy to have you.
Yeah. Brought your guitar.
I did. I'm hoping to play it.
Yeah. What else have you got? That we've got two pieces of yours, one called Pieces, in fact.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start off with that one, if that's okay. We'll do that, and then a couple other tunes. I got a whole bunch of songs. A few of them are getting released over the next few months
We
got recorded at Threshold in Hamilton, which was a really great experience.
What's delaying you releasing them now? Just you want to trickle them out to keep the suspense up?
Yeah, it just kind of seems to be the way that the market works now,
okay.
If I can call it a market. I mean, more chaos than anything. But
you're not putting them all out at once as an EP or an LP to...
I think at one point there will be an LP later this year, or maybe an EP, kind of depending on how they do. But I think it works better from my research and knowledge. And like I said, my whole thing is in branding and marketing. So.
Right.
I'm obsessed with reading about this stuff, and it seems like standard practices to do singles and get people funneled into your content and get them excited about the next one and keep it going like every 4 to 6 weeks. And that's kind of how the algorithms reward creators, is if you're continually using it, Spotify as well. And so
that's not how it used to work, though. Bands would release an album, you'd binge listen, and then you'd go out on tour to play the songs from that album, and then after a year of that, they'd go back into the studio and build another LP.
Yeah, I wish. I mean, I'm sure you could make that work at one point, but I feel like when nobody knows you, you gotta stick to what...
Have a constant supply of new material
to
keep the interest up.
Exactly.
Okay. You want to grab that guitar, then?
I would love to.
All right. This is going to be your first release, at least the first release that we received, called Pieces.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. What does it mean? Where does it come from?
Well, it's...
Why did you write this?
This was one of the first songs I ever wrote, and then top to bottom, in like one sitting.
Ah.
Wrote lots before and different pieces that never really made the cut of getting played live anywhere. But this one's... me sort of wandering around my own mind of things that keep me up at night and having a conversation with some figure from another realm, I guess. We'll call it
that. Okay. So we'll listen and find out what it's like.
All right.
Matt Burdett, this is Pieces, live in studio.
Changed, are you still home? And how's the bank feel about your overdue loans? Are they mad or more in mourning? Has the air upon your theistic throne? Does it feel the same as mine does at home? Can you hear the screams creeping through the ozone? Is this war or just a warning? How's it feel to be such a freak? Is it killing you to be so diseased? How many pieces says, does it take to make peace? Should I bore my mind or be less boring? All the answers, even thoughts in my head. It's fun to feel dead as I'm lying in bed, as I just try to make it to the morning.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Pieces by Matt Burdett, live on air in studio.
Thank you.
That sounds pretty impressive. You got a lot of music out of that guitar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been playing this one forever. I think I've written almost every single song I've ever written on this one.
Yeah?
I love this little guy. I played every show with this, too. I love it.
Yeah, it's got an unusual finish on it. I thought it was a Kevlar guitar at first.
Yeah, it's graphite.
Oh, it's graphite.
Yeah, graphite, okay. And then a maple neck. It's all blacked out. Looks pretty sweet, but it can take a lot. Can take a pretty good beating.
And it's got considerable volume out of it.
Yeah,
it's a nice resonance.
It always sounds nice in a smaller space, but playing along with other people, it always gets drowned out. So I always it's got pickups in it, so I'll plug it in too. But
okay, listening to it in here, it's hard to imagine it getting drowned out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm also pretty heavy-handed too when I'm picking, so I always find attack the strings maybe a little too much.
Break strings in performance?
Yeah.
Yeah?
All the time. Yeah. I've been a little bit better. Start buying the more expensive strings, and that they seem to last longer, which is so annoying that they get you by just upping the price, but it seems to work.
Pay for the quality, I guess.
Yeah.
You said this is the first piece that you've written as a single piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember coming home from school and I was on the bus, and I had been listening to a lot of Bob Dylan, and I'd loved the way that he just kind of like rambles on about everything. And I was like, I'm going to try and write that. So that's my crack of just putting as many syllables into 8 bars of music as I can. And that one never had a chorus or even a title for a long time until I was playing at the Casbah in Hamilton one night, and I was just saying how I don't have a title for that song. And there was a woman just sitting in the corner of the bar who just shouted out, "Call it Pieces." And I hadn't thought of anything better, so that stuck. And it's kind of the fun story behind the name of that.
Did you get a co-writing credit?
You know what? If it gets big, I'll be sure to find her.
All right. How do you normally write songs then if you don't do them all in one shot?
Funnily enough, they usually come in pieces. Like I'll usually have music that I've been liking playing, like just some chord progressions or something, and then a lyric idea, and they'll just sort of find their way together somehow.
So there's music first, lyric second?
Honestly, it's like I sit and write both separately and then try and figure out a way to like cut words out and fit it into like a skeleton of a song. And sometimes it'll happen just kind of magically out of nowhere.
But it's the music that drives the songwriting process.
Yeah, usually.
Okay.
But
so
I always
musician,
like to
putting words to music instead of a poet putting music to words.
Well, I like to write too, so it's a little bit of both. Some songs are a little more lyric driven than others, but it's nice to wear both hats. Yeah. Be McCartney and Lennon, for lack of a better analogy. That's pretty arrogant
That's good. That's good. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of the idea.
How well does your music go over at the venues where you're playing?
Mostly pretty well. I get a pretty good response when I play. And for the last like five years? Yeah, I started playing live when I was 19 and I'm just recently 24. So I've been just as a solo act. And a lot of the songs I've always wanted to have like a band sound, which is where you're hearing on the first track today. That's kind of the sound that I'm going for. And I've always played the guitar really loud and obnoxious, so it's nice to get that way.
It's a full sound. I like that.
It was kind of the goal. The guy that we worked with, Michael Keir at Threshold Recording Studio in Hamilton, he's worked with some pretty big bands, just like big sounds. He's done some work with Monster Truck, Air Kells, Dirty No. So a lot of big guitar-driven music, and I really liked the sound and energy that he brought out of the musicians that we had, which was just a fantastic time.
But so is it a regular band that you were recording with?
Not really. So the band is essentially, there's a bunch of friends that played in a band called the Bandicoots, and they've all kind of moved their separate ways.
Is that Bandicoots or band of Coots?
Bandicoots.
Okay.
Like Crash Bandicoots, like video game. But they, three out of four of them came in and played on the track, and they're all kind of scattered around Ontario. One's in BC. He was the one that didn't play on the track, but still a good friend out there. But so we got a couple friends that I've just met through the music scene, open mics and all that, that are playing the live shows in the next couple months. And then Justin, who was one of the guys that came in the studio with us, he's been a real talent to work with. He's going to be playing some of the shows as well, which is nice to have some friends, have some talented musicians around to push the sound in a better direction. It's nice to hear it finally with more than just six strings.
Yeah. Planning on touring outside of the Hamilton area?
Hopefully, eventually. I've been getting into the Toronto scene a little bit lately. Okay. Played the Dakota a few times. They've been doing this really great Tuesday night. It's called the Tuesday Night Foreplay. And they get four bands, and everyone gets like a half hour. And it's really just like young bands that haven't really broken in anywhere yet.
That's what you need.
Yeah, and it's just, it's a great little networking opportunity too. And just getting into Toronto is huge, because that's always like hard to break out there.
There's so much music out there.
So much
new music that doesn't make the mainstream airwaves. You have to go out to listen to, or listen to community radio.
Exactly. You know? That's why we're here.
Planning on having any concerts in the area here? Stomping grounds?
I've been trying to see about putting a show together in Waterloo. It's just, I don't know many bands out this way. So if anyone's listening that's in a band and wants to put a bill together at one of the venues around here, that'd be awesome. I'd love to get in here. It's been, it was kind of what I was hoping to have happen over the last 2 years being in school at Waterloo, but it was all online. So I never spent any time here, and everything was closed down for most of that too. So
it was an awkward time to be promoting yourself, because you know, the opportunities weren't there.
Yeah, it was definitely strange. It took a bit of a seat on the back burner for a while, but it's nice to be back out in full-fledged playing as much as I can.
Yeah. So when you're writing, how much influence does KW still have over your songwriting?
Would
it ever have any influence?
I definitely pull a lot of influence from just like walking around downtown areas and just like going out, being a part of the city, any city. And I've definitely spent a lot of nights in Kitchener-Waterloo where some song ideas have come out. So there's definitely some good influence here. It's a really, Waterloo's a very vibrant town, a lot of fun. Spent a lot of time here in my last 4 or 5 years.
Got the two campuses, the campi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got lots of friends out here. It's always nice to come visit and get some influence from a new area than just Hamilton all the time.
So on a day when you're not rushing back to play yourself, what would you listen to over here?
What would I listen to?
Where would you go to? What venues would you frequent?
In Kitchener-Waterloo?
Kitchener-Waterloo,
That's a great question. We'd go to Jane Bond. Mm-hmm. I like Jane Bond. And the Jazz Room. Those are like the two that we would go to just to see live music. Because, like I said, we never really had any friends that played in bands. And usually that's like our first, like if we know anybody, we'll go. But just being here, it's just nice to just kind of wander around and stumble into a show and just see a really cool little jazz act. in downtown Waterloo, uptown, nice, I should say.
Summer's coming back, and you'll have all the patios opening their windows, so you get to hear the music drifting out over the street and just wander over to where the music sounds good.
Let the sound carry you to where you're going to be for the rest of the day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Got another one? Another
song? Yeah, I got to play... I'll play the one that we're releasing next. How about that?
Oh, this is a preview for us, though.
Yeah, a little exclusive content.
All right. From Matt Burdett.
The song's called By Any Other Name, or Any Other Name, I should say.
Got a capo on there. Just so our listeners know that, this is an up-tuned guitar.
In triplicate, I've got a sweater with a guest through my life to invite you in. Let's beat around the bush and maybe play something tongue in cheek. Snow, you've all but worn out now. The welcome mat wraps around my heart. Call it whatever you may. I'll call it love by any other name. Tongue on it, but I recognize the taste. I know how it hurts to have my words go to
Matt Burdett live in studio, an unreleased song.
Yeah, unreleased.
We get to hear first again. Yeah, well, I'm sure it's coming.
It's coming.
Is it recorded already?
Yeah, it is. We did that one with the last one in the same weekend. We did those two tracks, Muddy My Mind and Any Other Name. They got a little bit of a different feel to them.
They sure do.
They're definitely coming from the same place, I think, musically at least. Yeah. But it was... lots of fun to do that one. That one had a little bit more room to jam.
I can looking forward to hearing that with the full band treatment. There were some spots in there where it's just crying out for background vocals. The oohs and the ahs and the back.
Oh yeah, there's some definite Beatles ripoffs in the second verse.
No, that's influences. That's inspiration.
Oh yeah, it was funny to sort of. It's like our base level of communication when we're in the studio is just like, okay, who are we pulling this piece from? Who are we pulling this sound from? Just so that everybody can kind of understand, like, we'll have a Beatles harmony here, or we'll use a Bowie chord here, something like that. Just, it's always funny how we just default to talking about the things we love.
Yeah. How do you get the music out to the others? Do you write it all down note for note?
I do chord charts first, so just kind of map out when the chord changes are, when what we're doing, and then tabbed out some licks and stuff for the guitar, and then a lot of it was just kind of done in the studio from there. So we kind of have the chords being what they are, kind of the canvas that we can paint upon once we get in there and kind of learn the songs.
And I guess if you've got a good band behind you, they can pick up on that and provide the bass line, the drums.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they were all phenomenal. We had Andrew Parkinson on drums, Nikolai Kozel on guitar, and then Justin Ross on bass and vocals, and all three of them are just phenomenal musicians. That it's really nice to surround yourself with people that are just way better than you, and you can really...
Brings you up, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. You push yourself a little bit more and kind of explore new sounds that you're not normally making on your own.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Are you playing in any of their bands? Are you backing them up in anything?
No. I think a couple of them are still playing here and there. Justin plays solo a little bit. But, yeah, they're all Toronto way, and I'm still based in Hamilton. Okay. But they're...
Well, just logistics there preventing you from playing together
mostly,
more often.
But Toronto seems to be the way to go. There's just more places to play, really. But can't afford it. It's like you've got to be hitting the big time just to be able to live there.
Yeah, exactly. And traveling back and forth is not a good thing either.
No, it's not ideal. Yeah. But especially now, snow's on the ground, people just...
Yeah.
Driving is a nightmare right now.
Yeah. Some snow on the ground here now. How was driving in today?
It was all right. It was a lot of snow flying off of trucks, though. It was just sheets of snow that obviously they can't reach to brush off, but go onto the underpass and all the wind just blows back on you. But other than that, it was fine.
Canadian winter is finally here.
Oh, yeah, finally. Yeah. I know. We had a lot of experience driving in the winter. We in 2021, we drove across to... We lived in BC for like 9 months.
Oh, yeah.
And we drove in February, which was quite the experience, because we were in Saskatchewan when it was like minus 50, blowing snow everywhere. Our car was the only one that started in the morning at the hotel.
Wow.
It was pretty...
Not cold.
Yeah, so we're used to winter driving. This is... Yeah. We're well-versed.
So you drove there and drove back again?
Drove there and drove back,
yeah. So how long does that take?
Took us getting there. It was like 5 days, but we couldn't stop in Manitoba because of COVID restrictions. So we had to kind of push our driving days as long as we could.
Oh.
So we were kind of up with the sun and down with the sun.
Oh, yuck.
But coming back, we took our time. It took about 10, 12 days.
Was it a working visit out there? Were you out there studying or playing? Or?
Well, I was doing my degree at Waterloo online, mm-hmm. and then we were working at a couple restaurants in a town called Gibson's, BC, which is like a small little beach town. Just outside of Vancouver, but it's not on the island, but you got to take a ferry to get there. So it was pretty cool. It was really busy from like Thursday to Sunday, and then Monday to Wednesday, ghost town. But it was nice to, it was really cool to like experience a new city like that. And it was like maybe 4,000 people that lived there. So a really small community.
Yeah.
It was really, really great.
So coming in as an out of towner into a small community like that. How was the vibe?
Honestly, it was incredible. We stumbled upon a friend group that had been like very welcoming to us. They'd all been friends since they were like kids, and they were just so happy that there was like new people. And we were the same age, and like we still talk to all of them. They're like some of our closest friends now. It was honestly, it was a total fever dream. I don't think it could have happened again.
Get any music out of the experience?
Definitely some. Yeah, the biggest thing that kind of drew me was when we were there when the fires were really bad. The wildfires.
Yeah.
And so we had this spectacular view of the mountain and the oceans, and just like day by day you could see it getting more hazy and more hazy, and that was really like, I felt really drawn to writing about that, so I got lots of poems and whatnot about that, but I haven't really turned much into a song yet. But that's pretty standard for me. I feel like I write things like 3 years before they get put into a song.
So it percolates in your mind before the music finally comes out.
Yeah.
Can you work on more than one thing at a time? I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks back. He was saying that when he thinks of one song, it drives all the other music out of his mind. He can only concentrate on one thing at a time.
Oh, yeah.
That was Tim McInnes, who was our guest last week.
Oh, nice. I totally get that. There's some songs that'll just come to mind, some like melodies or some lyrics, some riffs, and I'll just be sitting there doing whatever, and they come to mind, and then it's like impulsive. You just, you got to put it down then, or else it's never going to get done. And I've definitely had a few pieces that have been kind of set aside and maybe forgotten about, dust start to collect on them because they get prioritized behind, or I guess the impulsive ones get prioritized. Yeah.
And you have to write these down to remember them.
Usually, yeah. I got my go-to is usually my voice memos on my phone.
Voice memos?
Yeah, so okay. I'll just...
So you play into your phone to record...
Oh, yeah, it's getting to the point where I don't even think the app can handle how much storage it has in it. It's by far the most, which I don't think I've ever seen. I always got to keep that backed up, though, so in case anything gets lost, that's like my whole library of songs. Well,
I wonder what that does to archivists in the future. You know, people from the future listen to Matt Burdett's phone to find out how he created all the music that's so famous today.
Yeah, I often think about stuff like that because I always think about, like, I don't know, leaving something that'll last, and music seems to be the way that we can do that. But I got so many things on my phone that are just like, are they going to die when the phone dies? Or how do you keep that data like we kept hieroglyphs, you know?
Yeah, if it isn't written down on something you know, permanent, then it may not last, you know, into the next 20 years.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look at CDs today. You get all that CD rot where the things are delaminating and CDs actually shattering in today's DVD drives because they spin them so much faster than they're meant to be spun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's amazing how much technology can change in a matter. We were talking about that the other night. Just, it seemed like in a matter of, like, a year when we were kids, just everybody had a smartphone immediately. It was like happened overnight.
Yeah, pretty much.
We were maybe getting a little too heady, but thinking about the phones, smartphones being like our generation's cigarettes, where it's just they're advertised to us as being necessary and healthy.
They're just as addictive.
And oh yeah, goddamn, wait, if not worse, just. Yeah. But we're told we need it, and I need it. That's like my lifeline of communicating.
But they don't seem to last much longer than, 3-4 years at the most. You know, people turn over their phones in a short period of time.
Yeah.
And unless you've got some online service to preserve the data that's on there, you're going to lose the stuff that's on there if the phone gets run over by a truck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to, there'll be a time where I think we won't even need the hardware, right? It'll just be
Neural implants.
Neural implants, right? Well, I'll be puppets or something. I don't know. Yeah. That sounds terrifying. Let's not think about that.
Okay. We need something pleasant to take our mind off that.
All right.
Got something else?
How about a sad song instead?
Oh, a sad song from Disaster into Sadness. And we're all laughing.
Yeah, that'll keep our minds off of it.
Okay, what have you got for us? What's this about?
This is a song called A Man Escaped, which is a title borrowed from a French film. I took a lot of film classes in my undergrad, and that's where I draw a lot of songwriting inspiration from.
Okay.
But this has nothing to do with the movie, just the title I really liked.
Okay.
And so I just kind of used that as the core idea of a song and built around that. So
this A Man Escaped.
A Man Escaped.
By Matt Burdett, live in studio.
Time, but I guess your pretending's just fine. My eyes can't cross that bridge of tears running up from my smile. So my mind paints a picture, a man with teeth there as white as tile. Man, he's been missing for a while. I love you like I love those songs that we're singing down the 101. be nice to be happy all the time, but I love just how far we've come. My eyes can't cross that bridge of tears running up from my smile. So my mind paints a picture. A man with teeth there as white as tile. A man he's been missing for a while. Man, he's been missing for a while.
That is absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
Completely different guitar technique, finger picking.
It's a little bit different than the other ones.
Yeah, really. It's quite wonderful.
Thank you. I love playing that song. Yeah. It feels a nice change of pace from the other ones, for sure.
So if only the title came from the movie, where did the rest of the song and music come from?
I tend to have this like technique, maybe, crutch, maybe, of kind of writing half a song about one thing and half a song about another and trying to find the common thread between the two, which is something that I lifted from Phoebe Bridgers' song called Kyoto of hers. Great song.
I have to dig that out for our library.
Oh, it's a wonderful song. But it's just two verses, one about one thing, one about another, and that was kind of the idea with this one. Is the first thought, I just remember walking around my parents' neighborhood and a nice view of the Hamilton escarpment where they are. I wasn't having a particularly great day, and so that opening line is just thinking about the fall of my own well-being. Very sad, as you can hear from the very emotional descending guitar line. Yeah. But
it was in your voice, too.
I feel that song more than some of the other ones, for sure. It's got its pros and cons, but for the sake of the music, it's always worth it. But the second verse of that one is, I just remember when we were out west, there's a highway called the 101. It's a spectacular highway, rarely ever busy. It's the best road I've ever been on to just put windows down and just blast music.
Oh, yeah.
Going through the tall evergreen trees, some views of the ocean peeking out every now and then. So that was nice. Yeah. But I just remember driving through that once and feeling a little bit still sad, which, if you're in that nice of a place and still feeling like that. That's not ideal, but got a song out of it, which is the only thing that matters.
that was good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the finger picking, how did you come across that?
You know what? I was always a picker for the longest time. When I first started playing, all I ever played was AC/DC. That was what I grew up playing.
And yeah.
My parents probably hated their lives listening to me just play AC/DC.
Running over AC/DC music in my head, I can't think of a lot of finger picking in that.
No. So when I'm playing, I'm pretty heavy handed. And I honestly think the last couple years of when we first went into lockdown, I would just be in my parents' basement trying to play very quietly. And that's where I started to really work on finger picking. It wasn't really intentional. It was just kind of, I can't play loud. So I'm trying to...
Okay, so play one string at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Not trying to wake anybody up while I'm up until 3:30 in the morning with all this energy, just trying to write a song or just play some tunes. So I definitely think that's a more recent thing than others, but it's nice to explore and get it. It's a break from slamming the strings all the time.
Yeah, it fascinates me because you've got all your fingers doing different things. And I just don't have that level of coordination.
Oh, it definitely, if I start thinking about it, that's when it falls apart. So it's years of learning how to not think while doing it.
Right.
And just kind of feeling it.
That's what Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours of practice is for.
Yeah, exactly. So. I'm sure I'm getting close to that now.
Yeah. But well, it's paying off, I can tell.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is this on the upcoming album, or one of the upcoming releases?
I haven't done that one yet properly, but it will be. That'll definitely be a release soon, because that one usually goes over well, which is funny, because it's nothing like the other songs that I play.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, when you sent me the latest one...
Muddy My Mind.
Muddy My Mind, sorry. I put it down as rock music, you know, just a good straight-up rock music piece. Yeah. But this wasn't. It's a ballad. It's, I don't know, folk music, really.
Yeah, I think at its core it is, for sure. I've been really trying to push, like, a band sound, and I think at the expense of some of the songs that I...
Well, that wasn't one.
No. But I think I've kind of come to terms with there's space for both kinds of sounds in the same project. I always defer to referencing the Beatles because it's just my go-to. It's like the
most
Bible
influential band in the last 100 years.
Yeah, so I'm not the first person to reference them, won't be the last, but I just think about the White Album that's got Helter Skelter and Rocky Raccoon on it. It's like if they have the range, and I mean, those are, you know, some of the greatest songwriters of all time, so that's a high bar, but if they can do it, you know, why not try?
That's something to aspire for sure.
Yeah. That's kind of the blueprint, I think. But it's nice to be able to play some of the sad ones sometimes.
Yeah. Do you find that this guitar is set up for both types of playing?
Yeah, it really is. I think, like, I can do a good range with this one. I can play it like that in a really small room, play it at some coffee houses where this one sounds really nice, just unplugged, and then... So there's some gigs that I'll play solo and have the whole pedal board going, get it distorted, and it still sounds great.
On an acoustic guitar?
Yeah.
You play electric as well?
Yeah. I'll play anything I can get my hands on.
Yeah? What's your music room like?
Oh, it's busy. There's between mine and my parents, because my parents both play guitar as well.
Oh.
I think there's probably 9 or 10 guitars downstairs, and then one hanging on the wall that doesn't really get played much, but it's... I think it was my dad's guitar from like the 50s or something. And it's got a really good old rockabilly surf sound that gets pulled out. So there's a good range, bunch of guitars in different tunings and everything. And then my little laptop studio where I do all the demos. But that's kind of it. And then a keyboard. Our keys player is using that.
No drums.
No drums. I got a little MIDI keyboard that I kind of build some drums around. Okay. Honestly, whenever I'm doing demos, the GarageBand AI drummer is what's in there, and then I just defer to the percussion experts when we start playing live.
But that stuff doesn't make it out to your produced works.
Right? Not usually, no. I always find that's like a big deficiency in my songwriting, is how to build around drums as opposed to leaving them to the last bit, because everything else I can fake my way through, keys and bass, guitar, vocals, harmonies, but drums... I'll leave that to the pros. Leave that to someone who knows what they're doing. And when we got Andrew, our drummer for those recordings, he was amazing. He did the drums for the first track in like an hour.
Just based on the guitar tabs and chords that you gave
him? Like a little home demo, which I put together that sounded quite juvenile compared to what it sounds like now. Well, but
it's just a tool, right?
Yeah,
The home recordings are a tool to get the produced version looking or sounding great.
Oh, yeah. And it's always nice to like send those demos that I concocted in a basement all by myself into the hands of other people that can then share their collaborative ideas and put it into other talented hands, which is always really nice because I sometimes feel like I get caught in my own, I don't know, vacuum of self.
Do you find fixation. That you've had dry spots in producing music?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm definitely like a...
Writer's block, music block?
It comes in waves. I usually write a lot in the winter. That's kind of seems to be what I've learned about myself, is that winter's a big writing time for me. Just more time inside, I think. And then summer, we're usually out busy just doing stuff, enjoying the sun.
But getting the inspiration during the summer and writing it down in the winter.
Yeah, living life in the summer and trying to remember what I can and when it comes time to write it.
Yeah.
But I'm always, like, keeping notes on my phone and stuff because it'll just... It's like sneezing. Like, it just comes out of nowhere. It's just... sometimes you don't know what causes it and you just got to get it out and put it down. But
Sneezing out the music. There's a thought.
Yeah, that's a real, I'm a real wordsmith there.
Okay, can you sneeze out another one for us?
I absolutely can.
Matt Burdette, live on air.
This is a song called Bucket List. This is a fun one. A little more fun.
It's quite different from the previous.
Yeah.
But more in line with the other stuff you've been playing.
Yes. That one definitely brings us back to reality of the other right. Tracks. That one's I listened to a lot of like punk rock when I was a little bit younger.
Yeah.
And a lot of those chord progressions were just like old, like 50s doo-wop chords. Yeah. So.
Well, they worked then. They're still good.
Oh, yeah. And just try and steal those and bring them to today, I guess.
Yeah.
Keep the tradition alive.
Yeah. Where can people get your music?
Well, they can get me on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, anywhere, really. Honestly, I think today there should be on every streaming service. You can find me on Instagram as Lost Faculty.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about Lost Faculty. It's,
yeah.
It caught me by surprise when you sent me the...
So there's... I've been going by just my name for the longest time, and I've kind of felt that I've been getting a little bit pigeonholed by maybe just myself, but I definitely really only get booked as gigs that are like acoustic songwriter nights, because that's kind of what you get when it's just me. But I've been playing a bunch of shows the last year or so that I've been like getting the pedal board out and doing like a much more full sound, even though it's just me. Had a drummer come in one time from the band I played with from Kingston. And then I was just kind of like, yeah, this is not just me anymore. And I've been mulling over changing the name just as like the project name, you know.
Right.
You're not going to find me as Mr. Lost Faculty on any government documents, but...
No. But Lost Faculty isn't the name of your band.
I'll say it is. It There's is? Just okay. No set lineup for the band, which is kind of the why I hesitate. But it's the name of the project that I'm releasing music under and will be probably forever. I don't think I'll use my name as much, but people always spell the last name wrong, which is always a problem.
If and I get your first name wrong sometimes.
Oh, it's all right. Like I said, I've been called worse. It's okay. But yeah, so any streaming service, you can find Lost Faculty.
So look for Matt Burdett and look for Lost Faculty.
Because
I guess the transition isn't entirely complete yet.
Yeah, should be done by the end of the weekend. Okay.
You have a distributing company that puts the stuff out for you?
Yeah, so I use TuneCore, which is... Okay. They're just kind of like open to anybody, which is nice that that's available now. They've got that kind of pull that you can just kind of upload your music and send it into the ocean of the algorithm.
But saves you from having to do it.
Yeah.
And having to know all the ins and outs of that part of the business too.
And it's definitely like the last couple months, actually I shouldn't say months, probably years, but mostly the last couple months, it's just been me trying to learn like the ins and outs of just royalties, streaming rights, publishing, licensing, all this stuff. Yeah. And it's like, they make it hard as an individual to really try and understand it and not get taken advantage of and get the most out of your music.
So CRTC came out with a new regulation on Canadian content.
I saw that,
So that is actually good for you because you're doing your own producing, your own songwriting, performing. But it's performers who are performing other songwriters' songs, songwriters who aren't Canadian. Mm. They're going to suffer from this because they're no longer considered Canadian content.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right, though. Yeah. We got a lot of great music in Canada. A lot of, well, even young bands, too. I mentioned a band from Kingston, but I feel like Kingston's where it's at for music right now.
Really?
Yeah. Every single time I've played a show in Toronto, and last couple shows I played in Hamilton, I'm meeting these guys for the first time, and they're like, oh, yeah, we just came in from Kingston tonight.
Huh.
I think that generation that made the pilgrimage to Kingston for the hip is all having kids now, and they're making music.
Oh,
and
the kids are making music.
And it's good. It's I don't know what's in the water up there, but they got a lot of great bands up that way, too. Okay. So it's nice.
Yeah, to check that out. I have just a ton of stuff in my mailbox, you know. Yours from, what, May of last year finally surfaced in December.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I got to imagine you get tons of stuff sent to you. That's that's the thing.
And there's no clunkers in the bunch either, you know. Getting probably 100 messages a day, maybe 10, 12 of them are CanCon. A lot of them are repeats because I'm not getting back to them in a terrible hurry, so they send it out again. But it's all good stuff, you know. It's as much as I can do to keep up with the inflow to put it on the radio station.
Right. It's a lot to bear the brunt of the content.
Yeah,
be the one that has to cipher through it all. I couldn't even imagine.
Give me some help, you know. Come join your community radio station.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Always
join the music department and put some more music on the air. Put some of your own music on the air. Oh, and that's open to anybody. Anybody who's listening, if you've got music to put on the air, let us know. Send an email to office@radiowaterloo.ca, and you'll be at the bottom of the bucket, and it'll get to you in about a year.
It's worth the wait, I promise.
So music available on all the regular sources. What about gigs that you're playing? How do you get those?
Oh, honestly, it was another thing with the name change is they've been a little bit more frequent since contacting people with that name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which has been kind of funny. Like, I've played a few shows at the Dakota just on, like, emailing people in Toronto. And then just really networking with bands and just meeting people. Yeah. That's the best, is just being able to share a bill with some friends or some...
But it's all your own legwork, going out, doing the emailing, making the contact, the networking.
Usually.
Yeah.
Usually I'll do it, and then there's some times where... like another artist or another band will be the one doing it. It's always nice. But I got a few shows coming up. We're at the Horseshoe Tavern on February 6th. Yeah, I'm excited for that one. That'll be really fun. Yeah, that's a pretty historic stage, so I'm really pumped to be considered for that. But that was just a cold email and like a link to the music. I guess it's really just kind of like if you're articulate enough, you send them the information they need, and then if they like it, and are willing to take a chance. But
have a regular spot where you're at in Hamilton?
Yeah, I play at the Coach and Lantern a lot.
Okay.
Then that's more of like the pub gig, so I'll play a lot of covers those nights and then mix the originals in. But that's always a good time. I've been doing that since I started playing, and they let me in the door. Played open mics there, and I host the open mics there every couple weeks now, which is always great. That's the best, to just network with people through music and And then we're at the Casbah on February 12th, Sunday. Okay. And then March 1st, I'm playing with a band from Kingston called Melancholy Caravan, who are workhorses of a band. Okay. They play like so often. Those guys are busy at the Doors Pub in Hamilton. That's okay. What I got coming up for Lost Faculty.
And then tonight?
And tonight at the Coach and Lantern, 9 o'clock. That'll be a little release show / party / hangout. It's excellent. Always a fun time there. So,
how do people find you if they want to book you for something else? What's your contact info?
My contact info is mattburdettmusic@gmail.com. And then any social media, I will respond to any DMs, anything like that. I'm always checking it. We're always checking it. That's my girlfriend's kind of like my social media partner over here.
We will have all your links on our show notes website, radiowaterloo.ca/ccc. And just look for today's show and you'll see Matt Burdett and all his online presences. Is that a word? Presences?
Presences, well, yeah.
Maybe not.
Something like that.
Got something to take us out?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to talk over your music.
All right.
You've been listening to Matt Burdett live in studio on CKMS Community Connections. CKMS Community Connections is produced by Radio Waterloo. It's sponsored by Radio Waterloo. Executive producer is Jennifer Strong. Contributing producers are Jeff Steger, Dylan Bravener, and Steve Todd, who wrote our opening theme music. But we're going to be listening to Matt Burdett take us out. Thanks, Matt, for coming in.